Aloha, everybody. Hey, thank you for having us Kauaians in the house. You know, my wife is here with my son and some of our leaders, so thank you so much. You know, we flew all the way from Kauai. You know, I had to get my immunization shot, passport, and green card just to be here with you guys. But you, like you heard what Pastor Wayne was saying earlier, he came over to Kauai yesterday, and he spoke at the mayor's prayer luncheon. It was a prayer conference gathering for our mayor. And 1,100 people, I mean, it was so crowded. The people from Kauai just came out there. Kauai Costco was empty. I mean, there's so many dignitaries and officials there. It was the perfect day to rob a bank on Kauai because no one was around, you know, out on the streets. But they all came out there, and I mean, they just flooded the place, packed it to capacity to come and hear your pastor share. You know, we had also Senator Ron Kochi. He's the highest political office on Kauai there in the state realm. And he wanted to spend time with Pastor Wayne just to get some gems of wisdom of leadership from him. And then we had our mayor Bernard Cavallo, who is the highest political office at the county level. He wanted to sit down with Pastor Wayne. In fact, both of them came out to the golf course to come and just have a few minutes with your pastor to learn leadership skills. That's how privileged and honored you are to have Wayne Cordero as your senior pastor. People from all over the world just want to glean off of him. Amen? Amen. Now, before I get into the message, I want to ask you this question. How many of you want a life, a peaceful life and a quiet life, void from all of the turbulence and turmoil and stress? I mean, there's going to be trials and tribulations, but even have peace in the midst of life storm. Right? Everybody, we want that, right? Well, the Bible says this in 1 Timothy 2:2. It says this, pray for those in authority and kings so that you will have peaceful and quiet lives. Okay? Pray for those in authority and kings. And the reference here to and kings is the spiritual authority over you. Your spiritual authority is Pastor Wayne Cordero, right? So God's not giving a suggestion here. It's a directive that we are to pray for the spiritual authority over us. And that is your pastor. Amen? And then God gives a blessing on top of that. And you will have a peaceful and quiet life. You know that if all of us prayed for Pastor Wayne just 1 minute a day, all of us, it's 1 minute a day, thousands of minutes will go up to the throne room of heaven of intercessory prayer for our pastor. Prayers of protection, prayers around his family, his marriage, and his children and their children's children. Prayer that God would give a fresh anointing upon him to get new revelation and further God's kingdom in a great and mighty way. He's already doing it, but we want to protect him, his health, that he be surrounded by great leaders, and that this church will be the greatest church ever in the history of Hawaii because of our prayer for our pastors. How many of you agree for that, right? So let's make a commitment to that of lifting up our pastor every day. He is our spiritual authority, and it is our kuleana, our responsibility, to pray. That's how we support him and pray for him. I'm not trying to get a raise now, by saying all these things about Pastor Wayne, because he's not going to give me one anyway. But I glorify not the man, but he who is in that man, and you are blessed to have him as your pastor. Amen? Well, today we're going to be talking about excuses. Yeah, excuses. A lot of us have heard a multitude of excuses in our lives. A lot of us have made a multitude of excuses in our lives. I have made many, many excuses. In fact, I was a master of giving excuses. You know, if you want to borrow any excuse, I got tons in my back pocket that you can use. I got them all. I got from the very beginning from the dog ate my homework. I got excuses, but the alarm clock didn't go off. Times have changed, you know. And moms and dads, how's this excuse? Everybody's doing it. You know, I got so many excuses now. Excuses are normal for some people, but it shouldn't be normal for the people of God. Amen? You know, excuses are like people. Everybody has one. You know, but it's easy to point the finger at someone else, to blame others, to deflect and shield responsibility from ourselves and make excuses. From the very beginning now, from the very beginning of mankind, with Adam and Eve, we saw excuses now. How many of you remember when Adam and Eve partook of the forbidden fruit, God said to Adam, Adam, what did you do? What is his response? The women that you made, Lord. He had an excuse right off the bat, right? You know, Benjamin Franklin once said this, he who is good at making excuses is seldom good at anything else. And none of us want to be like that. It's all about the if, ands, or buts. And sometimes, you know, we got to speak. I was the master now in giving excuses. But I'm not good enough. But I'm not in charge. But I don't have that money. But I'm not that smart. And I had all of these excuses. But maybe, you know, comes to this time, right, where God says, it's time we get off our butts and stop making excuses. Because many times now, excuses can hold us back from doing great things for the Lord. Excuses can even cause us to miss miraculous things. We can blow it big time by just making excuses. And that's what we're going to be looking at. Go ahead and take out your notes and your bulletins. And we're not going to be filling in the blanks today. But if you want to take notes, that'll be fine. But if you have a pen with you, and when I read this scripture, every time you see the word I, go ahead and circle it as we read this scripture in Luke 14, verses 16 to 20. Now, someone approached Jesus and asked Jesus about the great banquet feast in heaven, okay? That is the time when Jesus, in a spiritual way, he's going to marry the church, and there's going to be a gigantic luau and celebration for those who have entered into the kingdom of the Lord and got saved, okay? So they're asking him a question about that. This is how Jesus responds. It says, Jesus replied with this story. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to tell the guests, come, the banquet is ready. Then they all began making excuses. One said, I have just bought a field and must inspect it. Please excuse me. Another said, I have just brought 5 pairs of oxen and I want to try them out. Please excuse me. Another says, I now have a wife, so I can't come. You see all those eyes in there? And they were all making these excuses now. 3 excuses over here. Now, the first guy, he says this, I just bought a field, and I gotta go and see it. He just bought land without even seeing it. You must be Portuguese. I'll excel him on bridge. And how's about the other guy? He said, I just bought 5 pairs of oxen. I must go and try them out. That's like you and I buying one car without ever seeing it. And somebody goes, does it run? I go, I don't know. I'm going to try to check them now, but I already bought them. And they're giving all of this down. If anybody had a legitimate, close to a legitimate excuse, was the last guy. I just got married. But hey, why you not bring your wife to the banquet? That's no excuse. But what they were saying is that they were too busy. The excuses was all about we're too busy to even receive the salvation of the Lord and accept an invitation into God's kingdom. Because I'm so consumed with what I want to do instead of what God is asking me to do. Come on, somebody. And we can make all of these excuses. You know, a lot of times we make excuses because we forgot to do something. And then we don't own up to it, maybe backed in the corner. Men are usually better at making excuses. Husbands, really. And all the wives say amen. Amen. Especially men, when you back them in the corner, they will come up with an excuse. You know, for instance, like, why were you late? I got all the excuses. Huh? Why were you late? My dog ate my, homework. No, that's not going to work with this one. Why were you late? Everybody's doing, no, that's not going to work now. Why were you late? My father's son's sister's uncle's cat dog from across the street got run over by a car, and I had to work late. And we'll say anything sometimes and give an excuse, right? Especially husbands. Now, do not raise your hand men, or even on wives, how many of you have ever missed your spouse's or someone's, your beloved one's birthday or anniversary? Yeah, it happens sometimes. And then we come up with these lame excuses, yeah? You know, I heard this comedian once, and I really like him because his father is a pastor. So a lot of his material is clean. All of his material is clean. And he said this. He said about men making excuses and husbands and wives. And wives, you know, learn from this. If your husband ever forgets your birthday or anniversary again, go out and buy a brand new car. He'll never forget your birthday again. I'll never forget her birthday again. Cost me 2 months the last time. In fact, it will help his memory return. He will remember everything from then. The first time you met, what you were wearing, how you smelled. It was high tide, low tide, if the moon was out. No more excuses after that, amen? Well, we're going to look at these next scriptures coming up. And it's about one man. It's about Moses. A great man of God. Many of you know about Moses, prophet of the Lord. He is a biblical icon, a giant in God's kingdom. He has the largest deliverance ministry in the Word of God, Moses. God said this to the people of God. He said, when I speak to you, the people of God, you will hear my voice. But when I speak to Moses, we talk face to face. This is my prophet. This is Moses, the most meekest man, yet the most powerful man. He is my chosen servant. Moses is going to be a great man in God's kingdom. But he didn't start off great. You know how he began? With a lot of excuses. Well, let's take a look at this next scripture, Exodus 4, verses 1 to 2. Now, God is calling Moses. He said, Moses, I'm going to use you. Okay, Moses, you're going to do great things now. I'm going to do great things to you. Okay, come on now, Moses, I've chosen you, you're going to serve me. And this is how Moses replied. He says, but Moses protested again. But what if they won't believe me or listen to me? What if they say, the Lord never appeared to you? Then the Lord asked him, what is that in your hand? A shepherd's staff, Moses replied. Okay, now God is asking Moses to come and serve me, and I'm going to use you. Moses comes up with these excuses. What if they don't believe that you spoke to me? See, Moses was more concerned about what other people think instead of what God is saying for him to do. Come on, somebody. Amen. And in his own insecurity, and we can do that sometimes because we're insecure, we're more concerned about what other people think instead of what God is saying to do. And then we come up with all of these excuses. And you know what God does? God doesn't even address that. He goes like this. God goes, what is that in your hand? Moses goes, a shepherd's staff. Another interpretation says, a rod. This is the staff of Moses, where great and mighty, an instrument and a tool of the Lord, where he would lay it down, it would turn into a snake, where he would put it against a rock and water would come forth to nourish the people of God, where he would lift it up and the Red Sea would part, Charleston Heston style. It was a mighty instrument and tool of the Lord, right? Now, God doesn't even address his excuses. He just goes, what is that in your hand? You see, when we come up with all of these excuses, when God is asking us to serve him, God goes, what's that already in your grasp, Matt? What's that already in your hand within your reach? I've already placed talents and gifts and potential and abilities there, and you've already placed it in your life. I'm going to use that to further my kingdom. There's no excuse. God has already placed something in each of your hands when he asks you to come and serve him. Amen? Now, I know a story about these three young boys. One was a Hawaiian boy, Japanese boy, and a Portuguese boy. And the teacher came in and says, okay, I got $5 for each of you, and I'm going to place a $5 bill in each of your hands, and we're going to see who can get the most and best out of the $5 that I've given you. So the next day, the teacher says, okay, what did you do with your $5? The Hawaiian boy goes, $5? Oh, man, I took my $5. I bought one Hawaiian plate combo. I had one special $4.99. Lao Lao chicken long rice, lomi salmon with poke and poi. That was the best $5 I ever spent. Oh, it was so ono. It was so good. The Japanese goes, I got that beat. The Japanese boy goes, yeah, Japanese, he's smarter, you see. I take a $5, I put in bank. Pretty soon, $5 comes $6. Before you know it, $5 comes $10. That's what I did with my $5. The Portuguese boy goes, I got you both beat. I took my $5, I went to the store, and I bought this box of Playtex. Because we like play, huh? We go, Playtex? Is that that's a feminine product? He goes, oh, you try to read on the box. He said, with this, you can go camping, hiking, swimming, all for $5. I don't know what God has placed in your hand, but you need to get the most out of that. In our next scripture, in Exodus 4:10, it says this now. Once again, God is asking Moses, okay? He's calling Moses. He's prompting him to serve him, to be used by the Lord, okay? And this is how Moses responds once again. He said, but Moses pleaded with the Lord, oh Lord, I'm not very good with words. I never have been, and I'm not now, even though you have spoken to me. I get tongue-tied, and my words get tangled. Biblical historians have said that Moses had a speech impediment. Okay? So he's pleading with the Lord. No, I'm not very good with words. I can't speak well. God's going, you're going to be my leader. You're going to be my mouthpiece. And he goes, how can I? I cannot even talk in front of people very well. Okay? Now, let me ask you this. How many of you would agree with me that before Moses' parents even met, God knew who Moses was going to be? Right? Because God knows everything, right? The Alpha and the Omega, from the beginning and the end, He knows everything. You and I, when we leave service today, we can make 100 different decisions, and God knows the end result of each and every one, right? It's up to us to make the choice, but He knows everything, right? So, before Moses' parents ever met, went out on a date, didn't God already know when Moses was born, he was going to have a speech impediment? Of course he did, right? But Moses is over there, Lord, I can't speak well. Did God look down and go, really, Moses? Well, thank you for telling me, because I was just about to use you in a mighty way. Wow, books of the Bible is going to be written about your ministry. You know, now we got to tell Cecil DeMille, don't make that movie, Ten Commandments. Poor Charlton Heston, right? But God already knew, right? See, Moses was more focused on his inabilities than God's ability to work through him. And he was not only insecure about what other people is going to think, he was more focused on his inabilities. You see, our shortcomings should never stop us from becoming what God wants us to be. Making excuses does not excuse us from God's will being manifested in our lives. There's going to come a time where we got to say, it's time to get off our butts and stop making excuses. Amen? Someone once says this, he who makes excuses accuses himself. Now in this last scripture, here in Exodus 4:13 and 14, it says this. It says, now Moses, again, God is not giving up. How many of you are so glad God doesn't give up when he's calling us into his kingdom and serving him? Amen? That's the kind of God we serve. God's not giving up on Moses. But Moses again, he says, Moses again pleaded, Lord, Lord, please send anyone else. Has anybody ever said that, Lord, not me, use them? I've done that so many times. Not me, Lord. I'm not good enough. Use them. And that is what Moses is saying over here. Then he goes on to say, then the Lord became angry with Moses. He says, all right, he said, what about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he speaks well. And look, he's on his way to meet you now, and he will be delighted to see you. See, Moses is trying to take away the responsibility of what God is asking him to do. And point is, no, not me. Don't use me. I'm comfortable right here. But I can't speak well. But what about what others will think? And there's all of these excuses over here now. And then he's saying, not me. Not me. And you know what God does? He goes, well, look at your brother Aaron. He speaks well. He's already on his way. You see, when we come up with excuses that you, somebody else, we can't do it, God is already sending the help so that we can succeed in God's kingdom. God always sets us up for success and never our demise. That's the kind of God we serve. He will send you people around you to help you, to pray for you, accountability partners, a husband or a godly wife that's in the Word, and people will come and help you to be successful in the calling that God has placed on your life. That's the kind of God you and I serve. Someone once said this, the day you take complete responsibility for yourself, the day you stop making any excuses, that's the day you start at the top. Maybe it's time we get off our butts and stop making excuses. Some of you might know who Deion Sanders is. Deion Sanders is one of the greatest athletes, professional athletes ever. He was better known as Prime Time. Deion Sanders played two professional sports at the same time, professional baseball and professional football. One of the few to ever do that. But Deion Sanders is the only professional athlete to hit a home run and score a touchdown in the same week. He will be a guaranteed first ballot Hall of Famer. On top of that, Deion Sanders is now a Christian. In fact, he's a minister of the Word, and he's preaching the Bible. Okay, someone once interviewed him, asking, Deion, what is the secret to your success? How did you make it? Because he came from a very, very tough area in Florida. He said, Deion, when you look back in your life, now God's working in your life, what is the key? What is the key, Deion? What opened the door? What moment ignited that you walking into all of this? And he says, well, you know what I had to do? I looked around in my life and I had to get rid of all the idols. The idols. Yeah, I said, I was surrounded by so many idols in where I came from, and even in my own life, there was just a lot of idols. I said, well, what is idols? He said, well, where I come from, people would say, if I'd have gone to school, I may have graduated from college. If I'd have gone to practice and played football like you, Deion, I'd have been just as good as you. If I'd have got off drugs, I wouldn't have lost my marriage and I'd still have my children. If I'd have done this, I would have gotten that. And he said, I had to get rid of all of those idols because all it was a bunch of excuses. And that's why Deion Sanders says, that's what I had to do. You know, I remember when the Lord, you know, I was turning my life to the Lord, but prior to that, many, many years ago, over 20 years ago, I was at my lowest. I grew up in Kalihi, Palama, right down the road, kind of close to this place. I had an excuse of why I was drug dealing and doing all of this illegal activity, because I was a victim of my society, and that's how I grew up in Kalihi. That was just natural. I had my excuses. But at the lowest point of my life, this one time, and I'm sitting in my backyard. I have a bottle of white tequila, because the gold one is for soft people. That's the kind of mentality I had. And I have a bottle of white tequila and a tall can of Budweiser for Chaser, with a handgun on my lap. And I'm saying to myself that night, somebody's going to die tonight, either them or me. And I'm so grateful, humbled, and thankful that the Lord got a hold of my life, even that night, in a miraculous moment. And he wouldn't let me go. He didn't give up. And then I started to turn my life around, and, you know, I started to come to church and start reading the Bible and just try to get closer to God. And then came a time where God's now asking me, all right, Matt, now, you know, maybe I'm calling you to come and serve me. Come and serve me in some way. Push a chair. Plug in a wire. Hand out a bulletin. Whatever it is. Pick up some rubbish. You know, and I had all of my excuses. No, Lord, not me. But I'm not good enough. But I'm not smart enough. But I don't know how to read the Bible. But I don't know how to pray. But I didn't graduate from Bible college. Use somebody else. But Lord, don't you know what I did in my past? Like telling God, don't you know? But I felt that I was disqualified from serving in God's kingdom. And God wouldn't give up. If you're sitting here today and you might be saying, well, but I'm not worthy. But I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't know the Bible that well. You're in a perfect position to be used by God. I'm going to tell you why. Because you see, God, he works this way. When Jesus first picked his top leaders, he didn't go after the cream of the crop. He went after unlearned fishermen, not even church folk. He went after them first. Because I can tell you this. Now, if you ever feel like, I'm not worthy, I'm not qualified, maybe you feel like me, disqualified, and using my past as an excuse of not answering what God is asking me to do. Because some of you, God might be asking you, hey, come on, jump into ministry. Start doing your devotions. Work on your marriage. Spend time, more time with your children. Stop doing this. Start doing that. And we've just been giving a bunch of excuses. And then sometimes we feel like we're not qualified, or we feel like we have disqualified ourselves from serving God's kingdom. If you get anything, get this today. God doesn't choose those who are qualified. God always qualifies those he chooses. That's the kind of God we serve. Come on, somebody. Amen. Now, let's take a quick recap now. Okay, everybody, no excuses. We're going to pray for a senior pastor, right? Right? Even though it's just 1 minute a day, but thousands of minutes going up to heaven covering our pastor in prayer, right? You know, some of you may have seen the movie Godfather before. I was all into that, you know, back in the day watching those gangster movies. But it's an Academy Award winning show, right? Godfather. Godfather 1 now. Marlon Brando portraying Vito Corleone, the Godfather. One of his sons got assassinated and got killed and murdered. He's trying to protect his youngest son from any more of these killings, right? So he's meeting with other crime bosses in a room. And he says this to them. He goes, if anything happens to my son, Michael, if he was to catch a cold and suddenly die or get hit by a car by accident, I'm going to blame some of the people in this room. And I'm going to say this in love. If something was to happen to my senior pastor, so we're all going to pray for Pastor Wayne, right? No excuses. No excuses, right? And we can make all the excuses that we want, right? And God's going to say, what's that in your hand? What's in the midst of you within your grasp? I've already placed it there. That's a tool, an instrument from me to help you further my kingdom, and I'm going to work through your life. And then though we may say, well, no, not me. What they're going to think? I can't do it. I'm not good enough. I don't speak well. I'm not smart enough. And God's going to say, I'm already sending the help for you. No more excuses. Maybe it's time we all get off our butts and stop making excuses. How many of you received that today? Amen? God bless you. Thank you for having us here. We love you. Aloha.